It's rivalry week. Nothing more to be said but other than that.
Fuck
right
you,
here.
Scott, fuck you.
On the push off. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend. Get you ready for the next. I'm your host, Scott Hogan, sitting across from this table from me, as always.
Dan, keeping them hips loose right.
Dan, obviously rivalry week. I heard it in your voice at the beginning.
Arch rival Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. No, this is not something that has happened yet since we're doing this podcast.
That's true, yeah.
The last time these two teams played each other was in Minnesota. I think it was a Thursday night game or something like that. No, it wasn't. It had to be a Sunday night or something. Yeah. That the Cowboys got the best of the Vikings in their like 13-3 year, though.
Yeah, we were good that year.
Right before we started the show. So this was our first podcast to do my team versus your team. I mean, rivalry week. I've had people who listen to our show tell me, well, I'm listening this week, I gotta see how this goes, well before our game.
So I'll tell you this much, it was a fucking good game.
All of them this week are great.
This was,
we'll get to, but
loaded,
yes,
with good games. The last 2 weeks have been fucking delicious.
They've been very good.
Did it go how I wanted it to go? No. Does it affect how I feel about you? Yes, it does. I feel very negatively towards
it. I wonder.
No, it's one of those unfortunate things is that I have been saying all year that these Minnesota Vikings are a good football team.
Yeah, and at times I didn't believe you.
Do you believe me now? Do you finally
they're
believe
out
me?
There, sure.
So that's the thing. This team is good. They played the Cowboys, who are, at best this year, a little schizophrenic. Mm. I truly believe the Dallas Cowboys could walk into New England and beat the shit out of the Patriots. I also truly believe we could lose to the Lions without Matt Stafford.
I see.
I do not know what the fuck this team is. It is so all over the place. They had a moderately good game that you guys game planned for so well.
That's where we're starting, obviously, just to get it in there. It's 28-24. We both took our teams in this matchup. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the first to put my hand up and say, I was sweating it when we headed towards that week. And it's like, well, Adam Thielen's not going to play. I'm like, yeah, I kind of expected that. Linval Joseph against one of the better running backs who runs between the tackles, if not the best in the league. Yeah, he's not going to play either. Okay, sweating a little bit. And then right before the game, and one of your top cornerbacks is out too, in Trey Waynes. I started thinking, like, I maybe shouldn't take the Vikings in this, but I kind of have to.
And what did I text you back right away?
Said
Cook is still alive.
Yes, which at first I was going to reply, don't threaten me with that stuff. Like, I can't knock on wood through a text message until Cook goes down and you feel real bad for saying such things. But
I would have felt bad later. I would have been perfectly fine with him missing the second half of that game because he was tearing us up.
Oh, he was the offense for the Vikings, yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins, primetime, great, got his win. No turnovers, that's
awesome.
Couple
really good throws that, for some reason, Kyle Rudolph all of a sudden is the second coming of our Lord and Jesus.
We
God.
Needed somebody else to be a weapon, especially in the red zone with Adam Thielen out, and that was Kyle Rudolph that
Diggs
night.
Didn't have a super productive game. Mm-hmm. I didn't think your passing game, aside from all the goddamn screen passes,
I would
was
agree.
Super effective. But those are also our kryptonite as a very aggressive defense.
Yeah.
That uses a lot of stunts and quick counters and things like that. When you get somebody to take a false first step with a screen game, it's devastating. And it really hurt us.
The screens and just the plays that had Cook with the ball in his hands, some of those he made everything on his own.
Oh, yeah. There
blocks
were a couple,
weren't there, a couple missed tackles, and he gets a first down, and you're like, wow, that was him, and nobody else could do that. A
couple outside runs where I was just like, that fucking guy.
Yeah.
I picked him to be one of the top three best running backs in the league coming into this year. Mm-hmm. I hold to that. This game was just an unfortunate personal example that the dude is the fucking real deal.
No, I saw it late in the season last year against the Dolphins at home. We had he had two touchdowns in the game, and I'm like, he's the best player on the field when healthy. If this guy stays healthy, then he becomes their offense, and that's what's happened this year. Dalvin Cook's the offense. Kirk Cousins just doesn't need to screw it up. And he's learned that too. And gosh, hopefully we just get back the offensive weapons that we're missing, which is just Thielen right now. But
with Thielen and Cook and Diggs and the resurgent Laquon Treadwell and Kyle Rudolph, this offense is very good.
Yeah, there's enough weapons there.
Your defense is pretty good too, but the Cowboys were able to put up 24 points and throw all the fuck over you. This is like one of the best games I can remember Dak having in a long time. Dak looked ballsy, decisive, athletic, and accurate.
To flip to the Dallas' side in this, we shut down the run pretty well. Early on, Zeke was still getting 4 or 5 yards, so that was questionable. Vikings jump up to that 14-0 lead. And we talked about, you always say, you know, Dallas always starts really slow. Mm-hmm. And there was all these stats that was like, God, if you could get up on the Cowboys, though, the team that's looking ahead, you know, coming into the second half and stuff like that, they definitely have the momentum or the ability to win. Well, 14-14, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Until it was Dak starting to find players open, I thought he was a little happy, feet in the pocket. It looked like we were maybe going to get to him. But once he figured it out, the start of the second quarter, He had a great game. He was buying time, finding people on the sidelines. Amari Cooper and the little sideline drag catches. Also, you can tell he's a listener of the show because he straight out did a push off on Mike Hughes to get his touchdown.
Oh, you're fine.
He shoved him right off of him.
As is tradition.
Yes, with the Dallas Cowboys, especially against the Purple.
He looked at the ref. The ref was about to pull a flag. He's like, it's tradition. And the ref's like, fair enough.
Yeah. But we appreciate that. He's listening to the push-off, doing one himself.
Thanks, buddy. Keep it good. Keep it good, Amari. But Amari Cooper had a great game. Randall Cobb had a great game.
Yeah.
All the wide receivers did really, really well, and Zeke just couldn't really get going. Zeke averaged less than 3 yards per carry in this game, and you could tell.
Yeah.
And anytime we tried, the thing that actually killed us at the end of the game was trying to get Zeke going.
That was that end drive. It was a back-and-forth game. You guys jumped up 21-20 at one point, so mm-hmm. you even took the lead from us. That's the only time they did, though. But then, they're moving down the field. It's only a 7-point game. And the only reason it is before that is because we have to go for it on 4th and goal when the run took them right up to the goal line, couldn't get in until the 4th down play with Cook. And then if you don't get that 2-point conversion, it's an entirely different game from that point.
Very different game. And I think easily an overtime game.
Yes. If nothing else, you guys are kicking field goals there at the end, maybe to even win it.
Potentially.
Instead of having to get in field goal range. So they get down the field there and you go for it on 4th down. You need the touchdown. But the plays living up to that was a couple of runs on Zeke and it just didn't go anywhere. And then they try to throw it to Zeke against who I believe is probably playing the best defense on our side here, which is Kendricks.
Kendricks. So Eric Kendricks in the pass protection was so deadly.
Yeah, and he is.
Just seemed like he absolutely was living in Zeke Elliott's pocket. And that reach right at the end, that is actually a perfect throw by Dak.
It was there.
That was a perfect throw by Dak. That was a good route run by Zeke. The fact that Kendricks makes that play fucking took my heart.
I think he is like third in deflected passes this year, and that's counting cornerbacks.
He's fucking great.
As a linebacker, you're not supposed to be there.
There's guys you've got on your defense that are just fucking phenomenal, and Kendricks is definitely one of them. There was a couple of plays by Holton Hill, which I'm sure you're glad to have him back, where he was playing on Jason Witten lockstep.
Yeah, he broke up some stuff, which was nice because the pass rush was not getting there.
No.
After a while, I'm like, okay, on these 3rd and 12s, which Dak kept converting, which was maddening to watch, I'm like, you got to start doing some fancy blitzes. I want to see
throw
Harrison Smith.
Him,
I want to see Alexander and one of those wild ones that Zimmer chalks up from the ground. And even when he tried to do that, it started to feel like in this game, this defense is showing their age together at the same time, and they're just a half step behind this offense. And I was starting to worry that, and that's been the last few games for the Vikings. This is the time of year you need that defense to travel, the winter months here. So I think at this point now, the Vikings, if they bottom out here, if they don't make the playoffs, a lot of that's going to be hung on the defense, which is surprising.
I think I look at these Vikings, and all I keep thinking is, this is a wild card team in the NFC.
Mm.
This is an NFC wild card team. It's how it feels to me. I think the Packers are good enough that that division's kind of theirs, especially with the schedule they've got remaining.
Well, that's one thing, is they have a lot more road games now because they played them all, the home ones in the front.
But so. They're not super tough. Those aren't super tough road games.
That they got the Niners. That comes up in week 12 that just got flexed to the Sunday
night
game.
Which is great. It absolutely should get fucking flexed.
It was going to be Eagles and Seahawks, which is not a bad game, but no. Yeah, that Niners and Packers one's gonna be huge.
Just a little edge. Just a little edge. You hope nobody gets injured between now and then. But.
And we'll talk about the Packers, and they are a very good team. So I don't know why the refs are keep giving them extra help, but that's what happens for Green Bay, which we'll get for there. But no, finally to wrap up this game, because we don't need to relinquish it over and over again. I want to relinquish it, I guess.
No, I know you want to roll this over and over because, you know, it's a good win for you against a good team. It's Kirk Cousins in prime time against
the
road.
Yeah,
on the
needed
road.
This stuff, yeah.
He answered a lot of questions here, even if he didn't have the most amazing game in the world. He did a pretty solid Kirk Cousins game with one or two sparkle plays. I don't feel bad about this loss as a Cowboys fan. We didn't look pathetic. We looked like this was the perfect team to beat us at our weak spots, but we still, against a pretty good defense, put up a lot of points, put up a lot of yards, and we couldn't get Zeke going, but we were able to get the rest of the offense going. When you took Zeke away, we still got almost 400 yards from Dak.
Yeah.
I can't be too mad at that. Our defense, once again, we need to get a better pass rush. I would have loved if we added some help in the secondary, but this defense is good enough to do it. This offense is good enough to do it. We just need to be more consistent on a week-in, week-out basis. And we have a half-game lead because of the win over the Eagles, but I really do feel like this division is ours.
You guys should, I mean, the race is between you and Philly right now, and the one caveat is that game later this season is in Philly still. That's the scary part.
Best they can do is break even.
Right, and then you look at Philly's schedule, and they have plenty of difficult games coming up themselves. So it's going to be very interesting this last stretch here, the last six games of the season, I think we're talking here.
Hey, we're already there, aren't we?
Ridiculous how quickly it's gone, but you said it too, that you kind of, your team kind of goes where your kicker does, and Maher misses that long one. Now, over
tough
50
kick.
Yarder, yeah. But to start the game that way is probably not the best way to start it. And then Dan Bailey came in strong, a couple of nice field goals in his old.
I'm never going to be mad at Dan Bailey having a good time.
Old stadium there, yeah.
Philly's got the Patriots and the Seahawks over the next two games.
Yeah.
That could easily be two losses for them.
Right, yeah.
Sure, they get the Dolphins, then the Giants, then the Redskins. But they could take two losses while we could stack two wins, and it's going to make the end of the season much more interesting.
Yeah, that's the exciting part of this. You brought up Dak's hips. I don't know what they're showing in this warm-up thing. Was like, all right.
It's, God, I just started I was literally cackling out loud because that's the sort of, like, goofball bullshit work you do when you're like, I need to become the greatest who's ever lived. When you lose that sort of shame of being caught in public doing that sort of shit.
Now it's on a primetime game.
It means I'm fucking excellent. That means Dak is going to do that shit forever now. I hope he doesn't gauge it back. And to be honest with you, his hips have looked great this year. This is one of his more productive passing years ever. I can't wait to give this dude money.
And before this game, the rumor came out that it was like, well, they're probably going to get franchise tagged. They're not going to get close to a number. What do you think about that? Yeah.
I mean, it's a sensible leverage point.
Okay.
But it's a lot of money. And if it's a lot of guaranteed money that you tie up this year when you've got to re-sign a guy like Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
So you've only got one franchise tag. I would personally like to see Dak get signed long-term. And if we got a franchise Amari, he might be less happy, but Amari's got money. If we sign Amari to a long-term deal and we franchise Dak, at least Dak knows, hey, man, I'm getting $20-something million dollars just this year, and we can look at it again.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's going to be a long-term contract in there somewhere to help push that thing down the line for you guys. So.
He looks good. There is no one in this draft that I would take over Dak Prescott right now.
Okay.
No one. And I think there's some really good quarterbacks coming in this draft. But if you told me straight up, trade him for Tua, trade him for anybody. Trade him for Burrow. I wouldn't do it. I know what I've got with Dak. I know he's a plus quarterback. I just need this offense and defense to be less inconsistent. We need a couple more playmakers. I don't need a new quarterback.
It's going to take, yeah, even more than sending Dak there to get down that list there for some of those top quarterbacks. But we'll even see if they're worth it. Who knows at this
point? Scouting
soon. Right. And then Collinsworth in this game, and he had to call it back, but saying that Dak bought his mom a house.
Yeah.
And then, whoops, actually, she passed in 2013.
Dak Prescott's mother, who is famously dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you follow Dak Prescott at all, his mother has been dead since college.
The only thing I'm thinking is, especially the way that he had to come back and like apologize about it, is they must feed these stats to those two guys as they're in the booth. And like, here's something you could say about these guys. And he just kind of looked at his sheet and goes, oh, he bought his mom a house instead of, no, he wished he could have bought his mom a house before all this happened. You know, yeah.
You can't fuck up a stat line about a guy's dead mom, Collinsworth. Be more professional. You know, he's trying to throw this thing as like a fruity little flourish. It's like, hey, he wants to buy his mom a house. Look at this good dude. It's like, his mother died of breast cancer.
Maybe cut those up into like somber things to say and then the fun things to say on the other list.
There's an old, this is such a weird deep track, but there's an old recording of Casey Kasem, the DJ, where he was like, all right, that was America's Top 100, and now we've got a little shout-out. This is Barbara out in Santa Barbara. Hi, Casey. My father recently passed away. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, I noticed. He loses his
shit. He's like, you put me into that fucking thing after an upbeat song? Get your fucking tones right. I love that recording because it's Casey Kasem being 100% right. Set the fucking tone.
Right.
Get your shit. This is a somber one when we need a somber one. This is a fruity one. Don't put Dak Prescott's mom in a fruity positive tone.
That's what the professionals know. We've been doing this podcast for our third season. We know that.
We're better than Chris Collinsworth.
I'm not great with the segues out of the somber tones, but I can get there.
No, you do struggle with those.
Yeah. Okay, so Vikings win this one. You're right. What you guys were saying, you're in a good spot. I think Minnesota needs this one. Talking like that they're a wild card team, to me, I'm like, I don't think we go anywhere. I mean, great, we look good here on the road, but can we string that stuff together? I think we got to beat the Packers, and that's where my mind's at.
Fair. We got to beat the Eagles. We got to beat the division. We got to beat the Eagles.
Right. Carolina versus Green Bay there. If I was really thinking wild card, then it's better that Carolina lost that game, but I'm not. I need Packers to lose. All right, but the Vikings go home next week, and they get the Denver Broncos to come to town.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Denver Broncos starting probably Brandon Allen again.
You'd have to think.
Yeah, I'm feeling that Vikings, one more week before their bye week, as long as this ain't a trap game, should make this their eighth win of the season. I'll take the Vikings.
I mean, you got to be pretty happy with their productivity if they get an eighth win here in the year. I mean, this Vikings team is good. I'm also taking them.
That's when we equal our wins for the last year, too. So hopefully that happens here right before the bye. Because when we come back from the bye, there's plenty of divisional games left on the docket for them. We'll see how that goes. We both got the Vikings for next week. Let us continue with the Detroit Lions versus the Chicago Bears. Hey, they all can't be exciting ones. This one ended exciting. The first half you really didn't need to watch. But 13-20, Bears won it. And I'll just ask you, Dan, do I get this? Did I pick it?
I mean, sure.
Okay.
You changed your vote.
I did.
Upon the Matt Stafford news, which is fair.
Okay.
When I found out Stafford wasn't taking it, I make it a policy not to change my vote.
You did say that.
Once we're in the podcast, once it's said, I keep it. I was very disappointed Matt Stafford wasn't in this game.
Yeah.
And you cannot look me in my fucking face, anybody, and tell me if Matt Stafford was in this game that the Bears would have won this
fucking
thing.
Lions were already moving the ball. It was 6-0 Detroit before the Bears offense had anything. Luckily, since our game was in the evening, I'm watching the red zone for most of this in the morning, and I'm like, or for the noon games, I'm like, they have not showed the Bears offense on the field once.
No, they're terrible. They had another terrible first half.
Yeah. Right before the first half, they get in there and get a touchdown. Trubisky ends this game with 3 touchdowns. A couple of those touchdown passes didn't look bad.
No, a couple of them were real fucking dimes.
But you can get lucky in here and there. You practice all week long, you got to be hitting some of those.
You cannot tell me that Mitch Trubisky, after this game, that all is forgiven.
No, right.
You played Jeff Driskel. If this was Matt Stafford, the Lions would have easily had 10 points, maybe 14 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Bears would have been able to get that final drive going. I think we can't live in a world of ifs.
Right.
But Jeff Driskel took you to within a touchdown. You can't feel worse about Matt Stafford in that position.
Lions had defense had 5 sacks in this game too, which was impressive for a team that has been kind of lacking on the defensive pass rush, I think, of late. But the game was 6-20 and into the fourth. Driskel did hit that long touchdown pass.
Jeffy Driskel got a fucking pipe on him.
He can throw it long.
God damn.
He can do that. And I mean, we saw a couple of flashes of that in Cincinnati last year.
Yeah.
His guy might be better than Dalton.
I mean, he's athletic.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. He's athletic. He's strong-armed. There were some times where you're like, you're not – I understand why you are a backup quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got all the physical ability in the world. Just doesn't seem to be able to read defenses. Doesn't seem to be able to throw guys open.
And talk about how scary this is. If you're Matt Stafford and it's like, he's going to play. Hold on a second. Guys, found a crack in the guy's back. Maybe he should, like, there's an actual fracture in his back here, so maybe we shouldn't have him out there. It sounded like he practiced like most of the week.
Yeah, he really did. This was a shock. The Lions are getting investigated now by the NFL.
That
somehow
that
this shit didn't come up on their injury report. But in fairness to Matt Stafford, he's like, I just thought it was like some back tightness.
Ugh.
I didn't think it was fractures in my back. But the Lions are out of it, in my mind. They're 3-5-1. The Bears are 4-5. It's still going to be a tough road to hoe for these Chicago Bears, but the Lions are done.
No, yeah.
At this point, just rest Matt Stafford, especially next week.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how fast Stafford comes back. I feel like if he's a guy that is cleared to play, he's going to want to be out there.
Stafford. He's a tough dude.
He had one of the longest streaks here of starting games, and that came to an end here in this week, so Stafford, has to sit on the bench there, and I think it catches the Lions by surprise. Before we do move on, here's that somber news, Dan. Former Lions wide receiver and Michigan State wide receiver Charles Rogers died this week at 38 years old.
There's an old Madden commercial that starred Charles Rogers where he said, Charles Rogers, I had 68 catches and 13 touchdowns. I don't know why that sticks with me.
Wow.
But his 2 years of productivity in Michigan State, this dude was fucking excellent. He was so good. He was a real, honest-to-goodness Big Ten receiver at a time when the Big Ten receivers were doing really, really well.
Mm.
They were so good. Charles Rogers, as the number 2 overall pick, looked to me like a fucking slam dunk.
Yeah.
But he struggled with drug use in college. I don't think weed's a big deal, but generally weed in college for these pro athletes guys, they're not using it for pain management. They're using it for like anxiety, and they're using it for like Randy Gregory, because they don't have all the tools necessary to deal with the shit that's going on in their life.
Yeah, okay.
He struggled almost immediately when he got into the league with injuries, broke his collarbone 2 consecutive years. I think that second collarbone break was the thing that absolutely washed him out. Matt Millen, the GM at the time, said, oh, you know what? You're a young dude. Why don't you you seem depressed about this. Why don't you take some time to yourself? So he told a guy with a lot of money dealing with some personal issues, go take as much time as you want to yourself. And Charles Rogers fell down a fucking hole.
He just never came back?
He never came back.
Hmm.
Immediately upon washing out of the NFL, the Lions went after him for signing bonuses. They took back a lot of that money. They said he violated terms of his contract, which he did from the drug use. He was working in an auto body repair store for most of the back end of his life, or at least the last 3 or 4 years of his life. Struggled with alcoholism, struggled with drug addiction, died of liver failure, died of cancer. Mm. It's fucking terrible when you see a guy like this who had all the raw abilities in the world completely fall apart. And this is something, like, I know Charles Rogers may seem like an afterthought, but I think this is the thing the NFL actually does the worst.
Oh, yeah.
They do a good job of, all these things with concussions and stuff like that. They deal with those. Those are the headline grabbers. We lose track of guys that are busts because we go, oh, he's a bust. Oh, if I had that opportunity, if I had that talent, if only I, we try to externalize our own desires onto people like Charles Rogers without looking at a guy like Charles Rogers and saying, what was he going through? He was a joke. He was turned into a joke, and then people pursued him for money. They said, you're so bad, we're going to take money away from you. And they ruined this dude. Hmm. The NFL ruined this dude. They made this guy a business, and they took his money away. I feel for Charles Rogers. I feel for everybody in his life. He left a lot of kids. Yeah, this for some reason, when he died, I was so sad. It just seemed a profound waste of talent, obviously, but also a profound waste of an opportunity for a guy that, when he made those mistakes, never got them corrected. You know, there was no triumphant return for Charles Rogers. It was just a slow, steady decline. He died at 38 years old, 15 years out of the NFL.
Yeah, well, 38 for anybody, and if it's, you know, on your own time because you didn't get the help you wanted, that's sad for any situation, whether you're an all-star in college or just a normal guy, you know, getting by or whatever. But
and his college abandoned him, too. Michigan State abandoned him. They walked away. They said, well, if you're a bust, you're not a Michigan State man anymore. This was a guy that everybody around him walked away. And Charles Rogers obviously had his own problems. He had some domestic violence issues. He had some DUI issues. He was not a good man.
Well, I try to think about that. There's been a lot of busts that can go back and be a voice for college stuff. But most of the time, those are quarterbacks. I'm thinking Brady Quinn, Kevin Kolb, players like that.
Well, there was no impetus. And to that point, there's an impetus to rehab those guys.
Right.
There's an impetus to go, no, you know what? Don't go into the darkness. There's a light here for you. David Pollard, who's the kid out of Georgia? He was the linebacker, played for the Bengals. I think that's it. David Pollack. He injured his neck and it was like, oh, I can't play in the NFL. Well, you were a Georgia guy. Come back and do this thing. When Charles Rogers washed out the way he did, the NFL, college, said, you go deal with your own shit.
Yeah.
The guy never got the help he needed
from anybody. Yeah, when that's your life up through that time and that was going to be your meal ticket and everything else, you need some help there. And yeah, that's sad if they drop the ball on him. Absolutely.
Yep. And there comes a time when it's just, you're on your own. And Charles Rogers, I think, was on his own probably earlier than he should have been.
And as bad as those Lions teams were back then, they owed him so much more than that. Because you had to play in such a shitty Lions.
Lions have been so shitty about going after sound. Like, you've got so much money. You went after Megatron. You went after Barry Sanders.
Yeah, that's
for the fucking money?
Yeah.
Just walk away, man. Just walk away.
Didn't they sell you enough tickets for it? Come on, when they played there?
Yeah, Charles Rogers was not a lack of effort initially. It was a guy that got injured, got hurt, and wasn't managed well. He was like an RG3 that never got a chance to rehab.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think back to when I was a kid watching games, and this Lions and Bears one sure reminded me of a lot that I watched in like the mid-90s, Eric Kramer and Charlie Batch games where they're just kicking field goals in there. And
but good old Charlie Batch.
You're going to get a 12-6 game. Somebody's going to win this. Bears do. Bears keep their slight hopes alive. The Lions go home. They got your Cowboys next.
I mean, I'm taking the Cowboys, obviously, without Matt Stafford, with literally zero running game. Jeff Driskel led the Lions in passing and rushing.
I haven't seen that yet. Is Jeff Driskel for good sure starting next week, or do we know yet?
I mean, I hope he is. I hope that the Cowboys don't start off slow the way they just seem to be able to do every week. But I would love to see Jeff Driskel start for the Lions, especially in Detroit. I think we can win that game. And then we'll see what we do to the Patriots.
Yeah. No Matt Stafford there, then I think this is Cowboys game to take, and I will pick them. And then I'll text you right before the game if they throw Stafford back in. No, yeah, we'll I'll try out. Not to keep doing that stuff. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about, the Pittsburgh Steelers winning at home against L.A. This game was 12-17. Again, a game that kind of started kind of slow but was fun throughout it.
Oh, yeah.
And a surprise win that neither of us picked the Steelers to win this one. There's a lot of these, Dan, that we did not pick correctly.
Oh, yeah,
this week.
This was a bad week for us,
surprising
man.
Surprising week, but
here
it is.
There were so many shocks. The Rams, I know I picked them to not be as good as they were last year, but this Rams team should have enough talent to beat this relatively beat up Pittsburgh Steelers.
No
defense.
James Conner in this game either for their running game, so they couldn't run the ball. You got a backup quarterback and Rudolph still playing.
A young backup quarterback. This isn't like some savvy veteran that bit you. This is Mason Rudolph.
And the Rams can't get their $40-some million running back going. They can only put up 12 points in this game.
Boy, believe me, I know how it is when you can't get your multi-million dollar running back going.
How about that? The Goff turns the ball over three times, two interceptions. He had two fumbles and lost one of those. But yeah, just an ugly game. And then who's got another touchdown but Fitzpatrick? That's how that goes.
If you're the Los Angeles Rams, you can't afford to let the Pittsburgh Steelers be a fucking trap game for you.
Right.
Which is almost how this seemed. It seemed like they were looking well past the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You can't. Yeah, I think it's very difficult to, something that we didn't take into consideration as much as traveling over there and playing Pittsburgh. I might have said it when we talked about it. I was like, there's no easy wins in Pittsburgh. There just isn't. And Steelers took care of this one, which was a surprise, though, because you thought, well, the Rams at least can put up enough points that the Steelers can't keep up with them. And that was the other thing. Steelers defense, very young, very good, fast here. T.J. Watt, 2.5 sacks.
Looked great.
Oh, and the strip fumble there, too.
Oh, looked fantastic. We talked about it at the beginning of the year, or actually as soon as Mason Rudolph took over, we said he's in a good position because he's got a wide receiver he knows very well. Mm-hmm. He played in college with James Washington, yep, with 90 yards and a touchdown on 6 receptions. Was balling out.
Yeah.
He was balling out. You can see his timing with Mason Rudolph is still nice.
No, he's doing great. Juju Smith-Schuster is saying all the right things, being the number one wide receiver there. They're like, well, you know, you're not Antonio Brown. He's like, good. I don't want to be Antonio Brown.
I know.
I want to be Juju. He's like, there you go.
How can you not like Juju Smith-Schuster?
I know.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that I'm going to like Juju Smith-Schuster so much that 20 years from now, he's going to kill his wife and a waiter. I'm just going to be so sure. I'm like, Juju, I never saw it coming.
This is what happens with players you like. You're a big OJ fan.
I was a huge OJ fan. How could you not like OJ? You not like Naked Gun, Scott?
I like Naked Gun. Football, he was before my time. So I try to...
Oh, I watched film on OJ. He was
whitewashed
fucking delicious.
That. Yeah.
Still a great documentary. OJ Made in America.
This is another game, though. The Rams go flat in a big game.
This is what the Rams are doing this year. They just go flat. This is not the same Ram team as last year. We talked about it. They are definitely not the same team.
You called it. You said that they're going to take a step down, and I think what you're seeing here now is, they have the work cut out for them to make the playoffs in that NFC.
It's a good thing they traded Marcus Peters, who's not a complete fucking demon now that he's in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it's not all easy with Ramsey there. Ramsey's given up some stuff since being there, so.
Well, he's playing a very different form. Jalen Ramsey used to be able to just say, hey, I'm Jalen Ramsey, I'm going to shut this motherfucker down. Now it's like, no, we want you to do a particular thing, and it's tough for him.
Yeah, so it's not as easy of a patch-up work there for the Rams. They're in trouble. They, though, get home and get the Bears this weekend of Sunday Night Football.
I think they'll get healthy against this Bears team. As much as I don't like Jared, this is my putrid quarterback bowl. Because it's just Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky. I very much doubt these two fucking guys are going to wind up dealing 300-plus yards, 2-3 touchdowns each. I feel like this is absolutely a game that's going to be a piece of shit.
This being a primetime game is going to put a lot of light over these two teams that are underperforming this year as to what they were last year.
You think Mitch Trubisky and Jared Goff want somebody to turn the fucking lights on them?
Yeah.
They're fucking roaches.
That's the scary part of this game. And we've had a nice string of very good Sunday night games, and now it's like, oh, we got a Bears-Rams game on the docket. I like the Rams at home, too. Chicago actually did go in there and surprise them last year right before the playoffs. That's not going to be what happens this year.
No, there's no surprise coming here. This is and I really do think that they, to a degree, looked past the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're like, oh, we got a revenge game against Chicago next
perhaps
week, who is a tougher opponent. Oh, God, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, there's spilt milk all over these pants there in L.A.
I think we might see a very low-scoring game here. Now, maybe that works better in the Bears' side of things, but we'll see how it goes. I like the Rams as well. Dan, let's talk about Bills-Browns. Browns get a win, 16-19.
Shocking. This was a absolute quintessential Josh Allen game.
Yeah, okay.
This was an absolute quintessential Cleveland Browns game, except that they won.
Except they pulled it out. They tried desperately not to.
They really did.
8 plays at the 2-yard line, and they couldn't score.
God, just so anemic and stupid looking.
When they went for it on the 4th down and didn't get it in, I left the room going like, Cleveland is still Cleveland, and they always will be. But they pull out this win, so things can get a little bit brighter. But, this is another one where you can really skip over the first half if you're watching.
Oh, yeah, it's garbage.
Neither team really could get going. The Bills, you said Josh Allen game, which is like, you know, about 200 yards passing and no passing touchdowns. He ran them in. That sounds like
Josh Allen. Because he's a fucking goose.
And then their kicker, Hoshka, who's usually pretty reliable, comes up bad in this one. And I'd be surprised to not see Bills trying out some kickers this week.
When you go 0-2, man, and one of them was a game-tying field goal, that's a stinger.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, Landry had nearly 100 yards and a touchdown. Mayfield threw two touchdowns and didn't turn the ball over a bunch. But this was Nick Chubb. And this is Nick Chubb again in a week where they were trying to take the carries away from him with Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb had the 121 total yards from scrimmage.
Nick Chubb's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
You know, this, as much as I do like Kareem Hunt, and he's going to take a couple weeks to get healthy, how are you not thrilled to have Nick Chubb on your team?
At this point, I feel like if you're going to play best Browns ball, it's run the ball and play keep away on offense and then hope your defense just does enough turnover-wise and whatever else to keep the other team down. When you're playing the Bills, who are only going to average about 16 points a game, that's what you get. Congrats, Browns. You get a win.
I think the funny thing is watching the rest of the schedule for the Cleveland Browns, at the beginning of the year, this schedule looked a lot easier than it is turning into now.
Okay.
They have to face the Steelers two more times over the next 3 weeks. Mm. They're going to lose one of those fucking games.
Probably.
Absolutely. The Dolphins, the suddenly two in a row winning Dolphins, they got to face the week after next. They got to face the Cardinals at the Cardinals, and they got to face the Ravens.
Yeah, none of those teams are going to roll over for
them. Yeah, there's no rollovers. At the beginning of the year, we're like, oh, they can roll through the end of the schedule.
They'll start strong. It'll be a tough start sledding, but then they'll get better. And that's the problem is you're worried, if they didn't start off fast enough, would people start turning on them?
It's funny. If you don't start fast, at least you have the back end of the schedule. The back end of the schedule now looks suddenly competitive. Two against the Steelers, two against the Bengals. Yeah, sure. The Bengals are the Bengals, but the Dolphins are trying, strangely. The Cardinals are good at home, and then the Ravens. You're going to lose to the fucking Ravens.
Speaking of losing one of those to the Steelers next week, that's one of them, but it's in Cleveland, and it's happening tomorrow. It's Thursday Night Football.
We talk about how much of an advantage it is to be at home Thursday night.
Absolutely.
Both of these teams are coming off a win. Steelers, a very plucky win. Mm-hmm. The Browns, a very poorly played game that they wound up winning anyway. I am still going to take the Browns in this week.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Browns. As much as I do love what the Steelers are doing at home on a short week, I think it's a slight advantage Browns.
That's it. It's a coin flip of a game for me, too. It's the divisional one. I feel like this is when we were talking about that Niners-Cardinals Thursday night game last week where it was like, it could be tight, and then it really was, and it was the good team on the road. Here, I think both these teams are meddling, and that's when I usually get these wrong. I'll take the home team Browns just because, that's the only thing I can hang my hat on with both of these.
This feels like a three-point advantage right there.
The Steelers are a surprise. The Browns are a disappointment, but they've equaled themselves out really this season. All right, that's a good place to take our break. I knew that first game was going to take a little bit of the most time.
We talked a lot about Charles Rogers. I didn't expect to talk about him that long.
We did. We can go back and fill in more about the Vikings' big win, but instead, let's take it.
Get the fuck out of my house.
Come back for that 2 minute no offense. This is the push off. For the 2 minutes, no offense.
Because no offense, but to be honest with you, if you're in this week, sorry, you actually had a really good game.
It's not bad. That's the one thing I wrote down in here. There were really, really no bad games this week. Only two games this whole week finished with a larger than one score advantage.
And we're going to talk about one of them.
We're only going to talk about one of them. Yeah, the other one is later in the show. So let's hit them, Dan. Let me know when you got the clock.
And ready to go.
All right, we're going to start with the Giants and the Jets, the 1-7 New York game where the Jets won 34-27.
I mean, who gives a shit about this game? I mean, Jesus Christ.
There was actually fun stuff to watch in this one.
Oh, yeah, no, this was a blast. If I didn't know the team's records and I didn't know, I'd be like, oh, this is a fun game that's really sloppy as shit.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams just stealing that ball from Poor Daniel Jones.
Jamal Adams is one of my favorite defenders to watch now. But
should have been a Cowboy.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, 308 yards and 4 touchdowns other than that one. He really got things going, but again, it wasn't enough. Jets defense, 6 sacks, couple of touchdowns. It looked good for the Jets.
Really did.
And we'll get to more of that. They are going to lose Chris Herndon for a few weeks. Broken his rib.
That's a bummer, man. He's a good tight end.
I can't feel good. All right, next game. Ravens 49, Bengals 13. We both took the Ravens.
As much as I have truly loved Lamar Jackson this year, I don't think I've given him enough credit as an MVP candidate.
Nope, not me either. He's definitely near the top now. He was benched for most of the fourth quarter of this game.
No, isn't that crazy?
And he threw 3 touchdowns and ran one in, so he had 4 total himself.
That spin move was Vickian.
That run is going to go down as one of the best ones of the season. Peters with another pick 6 in this game too.
He's a
being
fucking
there.
Maven. He's a devil. The Rams aren't making good choices. The Ravens are making nothing but.
And we're talking, Bengals are an awful team, but the Ravens, you dominate awful teams like that and you do it this way.
Bell rings, you knock them out in 2. What can you say?
Even though this game was a drubbing, it was still a lot of fun to watch.
I think so.
Dang, the Ravens were good. Okay, and then finally, the Dolphins, like we said, they won their second one in a row. It is 16-12.
Yeah, who fucking cares? I mean, this is a Colts team that is now on their third-string quarterback.
Right.
That's tough. If this was Jacoby Brissett, this is a win by the Colts.
Vinatieri still has some hiccups.
Oh.
And the Dolphins are now on the longest AFC East win streak. 2 games.
What a pathetic piece of shit division.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, they get one of them next week. In fact, okay, so we've got a handful of games to talk about for next week, week 11. Bills at Dolphins heads that up.
Ugh, I'm going to take the Bills, I guess, because the defense is better, but who fucking knows? This Dolphins team is trying.
I know, and at this point, it's like, hold on, Dolphins. Don't forget your plan
from the
beginning, because the Bengals are going nowhere. But, Jets won, too, so it's kind of equal in there. But, yeah, I like the Bills on the road here. Get right in sunny Miami. How about this game? Oh, God, it's got to go to the 2-minute next week. Jets at Redskins.
Oh, put that shit in the trash. Put that shit in the trash.
Dwayne Haskins getting the start now for the remainder of the season.
I mean, you absolutely have to know with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
You have to know not only this year, but you've got to start him most of next year, too, because he's a first-round pick. You got to find out.
Yeah, and you're going to have an option to get another quarterback in the draft if you don't like him next year. So I think, you plan for these last 6 games and see exactly what you got.
Oh, can you imagine them moving on from a first-round pick in a year?
Who would ever do such a thing?
who's visiting?
Cardinals.
This fucking team.
Oh, yeah, Jets probably could do it in 2 years.
This fucking team, this is a bad fucking game. I'm going to be weird, and I'm just going to fucking... I'm going to take the Jets because they already beat the Cowboys. Maybe they have the antidote for the NFC East.
No, I think the Jets defense is good, and Haskins is good at turning the ball over to
defenses. He certainly is. He's very good at it.
I like the Jets here, too. Why not? Texans at Ravens. There's a good one.
Oh,
there we got a good one.
That's delicious. But I'm going to take the Ravens because Lamar is just balling out right now. As much as I love the one true God, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson is making me think about switch religions.
Yeah. No, this matchup is going to be great. We talked about the Texans and Chiefs one that happened earlier, where it's like, oh, the two new gods. I think we called it that in the episode. Lamar Jackson's like, not so fast. And he's been doing this last few weeks, so yeah, he looks awesome.
We about to get polytheistic up in this bitch.
And the way the Ravens defense is playing lights out is awesome too. The Texans are a Jekyll and Hyde team. They really are. I think they'll show up. I think they'll be a team here, but in Baltimore, I like the Ravens, too.
Yeah. Tough defense late in the year.
It's going to be a great game. I can't wait to watch it. How about Jaguars at Colts? Colts working out kickers this week.
Yeah, I don't think you can cut Vinatieri.
Right. Well, it's going to be weird what happens here, but if you're a playoff-heading team, you might have to deal with something here.
But are they? They lost 2 straight to 2 bad teams.
Right.
This team, with the resurgence and sort of success of the Texans, it's tough. It's going to be tough for this Colts team to make the playoffs.
That's the question, is if you guys, if they think they are or
is
not.
Is Brissett healthy?
Brissett's questionable in this game. He could be playing this one. I don't know. Yeah, you rush him back if you want to be a playoff team. You get another kicker if you want to be a playoff team. That's what I think.
I don't feel confident. I'm going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And the Jaguars are starting
Big Dick Nick.
That's right. Nick Foles back. So it's a very interesting setup here. I'll take the Colts at home. I'm going to take the Colts at home and be a little different.
Fair enough.
I think this is our first different one. Might as well.
Well, clearly we were on the same page a lot last week, and we were wrong a fuck ton.
Very much so. And then finally, Giants with a bye week, week 11.
I think they're going to lose it.
You do?
I think they're going to lose that bye week.
It's running for it. I got a couple of stats here for you. Daniel Jones now needs 13 touchdowns in the last six games to break Mayfield's rookie touchdown record.
Oh, yeah, because that's a record you want to break.
But it's amazing that, given where we're at now in the NFL, that it's just, who's the next guy up that's
going to
play?
How's he doing on turnovers?
Yeah, 14, 15 games this season, he's probably going to break that record. Also, Ben McAdoo, and we remember that name. I'll bring you back to Ben McAdoo time.
Yeah, I remember Ben McAdoo. He's not allowed to be near schools.
He was fired in his second season after his record went 13-16. What's Pat Shurmur's record now, halfway through the second season of his head coaching in New York? 7-19.
I feel like Shurmur is building something, whereas McAdoo was on the backslide. They hired him to like maintain and push, and everything slid on him.
That's true. That's true. You still had Eli going, and
Shurmur's basically saying, "Hey, Daniel Jones is doing well in this offense. Let me finish rebuilding. This offensive line isn't very good. Let me tighten shit up. Give me one more year, and I think he'll get it."
Oh man, the game that Saquon Barkley threw out there. For 1 yard on 13 carries, and they're like, well, he wasn't healthy. Yeah, but he still touched the ball 13 times. I don't know how that happens.
I'm healthy enough, and I'm very unhealthy. I'm healthy enough for 1 yard. If you give me that many cracks at it, I'll get 1 yard. I'll fall forward, man.
Oof, man. So, yeah, Giants get a bye week to figure this out, but I think there's an eyes on Shurmur's job already, unfortunately.
I think so. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go.
Especially now losing the Jets.
With one or two wins here on the back end, I wouldn't be shocked to see him stay.
Right, because who loses to the Jets?
You know, you're real close with the Jets.
All right, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be quiet. Let's move on to
one. Let's not rub salt in wounds.
Touché. Let's roll on to some games from last week. How about the Thursday night matchup of the Chargers-Raiders, where the Raiders went 26-24? This is another one I picked. Again, it happened to be the next game to talk about.
This was crazy. I like the Raiders. I picked the Chargers in this one because I thought they were going to...
They're the better team on paper. I really think that.
Well, so I don't think so anymore. Raiders team is... I think the Chargers team is more talented. I think this Raiders team is a better team.
Okay.
This Raiders team feels more complete. I don't think they're going to go into New England and knock off the Patriots. I don't think they've got the talent to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But this is a team that... Every game this year has come out, answered the bell, really put their best effort forward. And Derek Carr is a good quarterback. He's a top 15 quarterback in this league.
Carr did all right in this game. Rivers had a bad one. He threw three interceptions. Melvin Gordon is finally getting up to speed the last couple of weeks here for the Chargers, and it's just like too little too late.
It's really too late.
And then, Jacobs had another 101 total yards from scrimmage. That looked good.
Making a strong case for Rookie of the Year, as you were saying.
I want to keep holding on to Jacobs here as my rookie pick. Raiders defense in this game. 5 sacks, and Clelin Ferrell showed up 2.5 in this one. Finally, the guy with the 4th overall pick, we get to talk about him.
This is bare minimum. You got to get this sort of production out of the guy this year.
No kidding. And then Eric Harris had a big game. They interviewed him afterwards. He had 2 interceptions. I think he had a 3rd that was called back.
And this dude was like absolutely on the fucking streets, man. This guy was doing nothing. But yeah, came in and had an absolutely monster fucking game.
No kidding. So a tight game. Lead changes back and forth. Chargers get the ball with just over a minute left. Okay, but 3 timeouts. They only need to get in field goal range. They only lost by 2 points because Daniel Carlson missed a big kick. Surprise, surprise there.
I'm sure you took no joy in that.
If you watched that last drive, I'm sure you did. We were like, what the hell is Phillip Rivers doing? All you got to do is get in field goal range, and he's chucking it down the field.
I mean, Phillip Rivers has one fatal flaw, which is deep down in his heart, he's a cowboy.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a Dallas Cowboy, but I mean like a honest-to-God rootin'-tootin' sort of cowboy.
Shoot him up.
He didn't want this thing to be decided on a field goal. He wanted to win this fucking game. The problem was the Oakland Raiders were like, well, we can just stop that from happening. It's harder for us to stop you getting a field goal. It's way easier for us to stop you getting a touchdown.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, okay, fine. Go win a touch with a touchdown. You can do that, but
great, ideal.
You don't need to do it on one play.
It's not mandatory.
Anyways, the Bengals are heading to Oakland to get the Raiders this week.
I cannot imagine Oakland losing this game. Mm-hmm. I absolutely can't. Like I said, the Bengals are a bad team. The Oakland Raiders are a team that has come out every week. There's no trap games for Oakland. They're just trying to make a case for being an AFC wildcard team. And if after this week they go to 6-4, they can make that case.
What do we think of the new head quarterback for the Bengals here?
Who? Ryan Finley?
Yeah,
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Well, just a little bit. We got to see him in the blowout Ravens game.
Yeah, it wasn't good. No. I mean, Ryan Finley didn't look like he was ready to play that game. He didn't look like he was ready to face the Ravens defense right out of the fucking chute. Tough position for the kid to be in, but yeah, I think he's going to lose to Oakland too.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how he grows. That's something to watch in this game other than, yeah, I think the Raiders got this one too. Hey, here's an exciting one that ended last week. Chiefs at Titans.
Ooh,
Titans win it 35-32. What's going on?
I have no idea. I literally, there's two games this week that I was like, I have no idea what the fuck is happening in the NFL.
Mm.
And it was Tennessee, Kansas City, and we'll talk about it later, but Atlanta, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
These two games were like, I cannot believe the Tennessee Titans are this good against the Chiefs. Now, do the Chiefs look like they're full strength? Mahomes doesn't look like he's 100% back.
Yeah.
Looks like he's a little hampered, but he's still making crazy fucking throws. He's still Pat Mahomes.
I was saying the same thing. I was like, look, the Chiefs lost this one, sure, and now they're, you know, their record's not great. What are they, 6 wins right now?
Yeah, 6-4.
It doesn't sound good, but at the same time, I go, well, gosh, all they need to do is get healthy. Like, look at the jump they made with Tyreek Hill coming back.
Oh,
they've been missing offensive linemen and Mahomes not being healthy. They can beat any team at full health. All they got to do is sink their way into the playoffs.
We talked about, well, I don't think Pat Mahomes is at 100%. Pat Mahomes was 36 for 50 for 440-plus yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, but he's got some, there's some fruit on the tree there.
Oh,
Jesus
man.
Christ.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, what this was the Titans played nearly flawless football. They ran the ball perfectly. Henry, you feed him the rock. That's what they do. 191 total yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns.
They played Titans football.
Yes.
Ryan Tannehill, less than 200 yards passing, but almost 40 yards rushing.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns in this game throwing, and then he ran in that 2-point conversion, lowered his shoulder on the guy at the goal line.
That's the one positive thing about being a backup quarterback. I'm doing the hand quotes there, and I know that he's starting now. But you're like, I can't lose this shit again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you cheat on your wife, you're like, baby, take me back. That next year, you are on your best behavior. Ryan Tannehill is on his best behavior. He's doing exactly what the coaches want him to do. He's not freelancing, doing weird shit. He's making good, steady decisions. Good for him.
So this is the matchup that knocked the Chiefs out of the playoffs just 2 years ago. Andy Reid against the Tennessee Titans has an all-time record of 1-8.
Jesus Christ.
So the Titans have some key into one of the better play callers and game managers as Andy Reid is.
You know what I think it is? I think Andy Reid spends more time thinking about who has better barbecue, Nashville or Kansas City, most of that week. And he's like, I can't decide. I'm like, Andy, have you even thought about the game plan? He's like, no, I've ordered from all these different places. Oh, good. I feel like this is the least prepared he is because he's enjoying all that fine barbecue.
And maybe that's the case. The Chiefs head to L.A., play the Chargers Monday night. They are going to be without Martinez Rankin now, likely done for the year.
It's a bummer, but at the same time, I think this Kansas City Chiefs team is still better than this LA Chargers team. This Chargers team, God, if they have wasted Phillip Rivers, and then Phillip Rivers every once in a while wastes himself. I think this is absolutely the Chiefs' game to win. I think it puts another foothold, strong foothold on this division for them.
Yeah.
And even though the Chiefs are going to continue to win, so will the Raiders. The Raiders' best shot is really a wild card because I don't think they can take this Chiefs team straight up.
It would be a wild one for sure. The Chiefs and Chargers split the season last year, and each team winning at the other team's home. There's no home field advantage when it comes to LA Chargers, and the Chiefs definitely, with Mahomes looking a little healthier. You know, maybe he throws for 450 yards this weekend.
Get a little extra juice.
I like the Chiefs Monday night as well, and the Titans go to their bye week for week 11.
I think they're going to win this one.
Oh, good. There you go. That's a winning bye week. So we move on to the other crazy one that you brought up, Dan. The Falcons beating the Saints in New Orleans 26-9.
I have no fucking clue how they beat this fucking team.
No, it just felt like every time Drew Brees and the Saints offense had the ball, something happened. I mean, the Falcons D got him on 6 sacks. It's just, I'm assuming that the Saints thought, we got this one, we're coming off a bye, no worries about the Atlanta Falcons this year, and the one team that knows the Saints better than any other team in the league is probably those Falcons.
2-7, 7-2.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. This Falcons team just hurt their draft position by throttling these Saints. But you know what? I don't think they'd change it for the world.
No.
I think this was the most satisfying win they've had in a long time. Matt Ryan didn't look particularly great, but he looked efficient. Efficient in small areas where he needed to be, and that's the Matt Ryan that is most successful. He only went 20 for 35. He didn't even have 200 yards passing, but he did just enough. And that defense went ballistic.
Yeah, and then it certainly helps when you've got a kicker you can count on. Young Hoku hits 4 field goals.
Young
in this
Hoku!
Lutz hit 3 for 3 himself for the Saints, but that's the only offense you get. You're in a lot of trouble here, and that's what happened there. So the stat, I think, I sent you what my brother said. Teddy Bridgewater didn't lose a game. Drew Brees has lost 2 now, being the Saints' starting quarterback.
Alvin Kamara had less than 25 yards rushing.
Yeah, shut him down.
Oof.
Let's talk about next week where the... Oh, so both... What do I got here? Falcons and the Saints.
This also tells me nothing about either of these teams, too. This doesn't tell me, like, the Saints are, you know, oh, they're vulnerable here. It's like the Falcons just came together, put everything they had into one punch, and punch the shit out of these Saints. But I feel like the Saints are still a playoff team, potentially number one team in the NFC.
It's just going to make it tougher for them to do because the Packers aren't losing any now, and everybody's kind of the Niners.
Everybody's staying steady.
Help the Niners out there with that loss, but we'll talk about that. The Falcons and the Saints, their matchups, we'll talk about here a little bit later, but I took this moment here between these next two games to talk about the Patriots at the Eagles because both of these teams coming off a bye.
True.
And it was last week's Falcons at Saints game that we did not even discuss.
That's true.
I didn't put it on the list.
Because there's no way this will go any other way.
Well, that too. But they were both coming off a bye, so I just didn't have that matchup set up in my head. So I was like, oh, no, once I was putting it together after we were done recording. So,
well, I'll tell you, I was going to take the Falcons.
Were you? Oh, I should have known.
Yeah, I was going to take the Falcons. So.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean to. No, obviously
put it on the list.
Yeah, neither of us had that, so. I like the Saints in this one, or I was picking the Saints in that one.
Oh, yeah, both wrong. Absolutely.
So, anyways, let's talk about the Super Bowl matchup from 2 years ago: Patriots at Eagles. This week, the Eagles extended Brandon Brooks' 4-year deal for $54.2 million. He's
great.
Highest paid guard now in the
fantastic
league.
Fuck the Eagles; they're gonna lose.
You're taking the Patriots?
Oh, absolutely. I can't, Scott.
Yeah.
I can't, in good conscience, take the fucking Eagles in this game.
No, you
wouldn't. I don't care if they're playing on the moon and they're the only one with spacesuits. I'm not taking the fucking Eagles.
Well, the Patriots are coming off a bye week as well, and they just lost a big one on the road in Baltimore. So, no, I don't think Belichick will allow it to happen.
Nothing
again.
More worrisome than an angry Patriots team.
I think Bill Belichick has a couple of these little rules in his pocket. He's like, you know, the NFL hasn't changed this yet, and I could probably take advantage and get a win. I want it this week against these fucking Eagles.
Fuck you forever. Eagles.
They asked Tom Brady, like, how long did it take you to get over that loss to the Eagles in the Super Bowl? And he goes, what makes you think I got over it?
That's true. This is the pettiest motherfucker in the universe. Yeah. You think he's over that shit?
And that's the perfect answer to that question. So, yeah, no, Patriots redemption game. This will happen. I like them as well. Let us keep going in these games. We've got just a few more to talk about. Let's talk about the Buccaneers beating the Cardinals 30-27.
Which we picked.
This one we did.
We picked. This is the one good one we
Which
got.
The Cardinals could have taken this one. It was
absolutely
back and forth.
This
yeah.
was, we talked about this though. We're like, I don't know. This is going to be probably going to be a fun game. Maybe a sloppy one, but it's going to be fun. And the only reason we gave it to Tampa Bay was because the Arizona Cardinals had to travel.
That's right.
And that's how this kind of felt. It didn't feel like Tampa came out and punched Arizona in the mouth. It seemed like Arizona was having a good time on offense. Neither one of these teams wanted to bother to play defense.
No.
And lo and behold, Tampa Bay winds up squeaking one out.
Kyler Murray put up some nice stats here, throwing 24 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. A lot of those yards on just getting the ball to a guy in open field and then making the rest of it. Christian Kirk had all 3 of his touchdowns in this game.
Christian Kirk went insane.
Yeah.
From a fantasy standpoint, I had him, and I was like, eh, maybe I'll play Christian Kirk in the flex. And I was like, oh, fucking 30-plus points.
Yeah. I had to start on the other side of it, Jones for the running back for the Buccaneers, and he got in the end zone and over 106 yards, too.
This is the one good thing. Ronald Jones is a guy that I had picked last year as a potential breakout. I was like, I think he's going to be pretty fucking good, but Ronald Jones, only 29 yards, but he got a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
They split the carries usually, but he also catches out of the backfield. He's a big help for
that. Yeah, he's a good third down back.
But Jameis Winston's throwing interceptions again. Now, it wasn't enough to lose this one, but he had two in this as well. They kicked the field goals all right, and then they cut Vernon Hargreaves this week.
Yeah, Vernon Hargreaves, another disappointment out of Florida. Put him with Jalen Tease Tabor. Mm-hmm. Put him with Jaqui Polite. The University of Florida is not producing prospects right now.
Yikes. Surprising. One thing I want to bring up is he had a long touchdown last week and then had another long pass catch this week. Andy Isabella showing up now, the rookie wide receiver.
One of our highly rated ones.
You really liked him. And now that he's getting caught up in that speed of the NFL, he's seen that he's a weapon.
He looks like he's got the speed.
Oh, yeah.
The hands are still questionable, but if Kyler Murray can get the ball into his hands, this dude is a game breaker.
Yeah.
You're seeing tremendous potential. The Arizona Cardinals are trying to start the world's shortest fucking offense with Isabella, Kirk, and Murray.
Yeah.
The average height's going to be like 4'2".
Yeah. No, nobody can tell me that Murray's 5'10". You watch those games.
Not a fucking chance.
It looks 5'8".
Do you remember when Bart tried out for Radioactive Man?
That's right.
He's just like, let me spike my hair.
We got a little dog next to me.
Yeah. That's kind of how Kyler Murray showed up to the draft. And they're like, bing, bing. Like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? He's like, yeah. 6 feet, my hair.
Big guy, okay.
Oh, wow. So stocky.
But, so Cardinals lose this one. This is a game, though, between two teams not going anywhere. The Saints do have to go to Tampa, though, this week. What do we think here?
I mean, it's Saints. It has to be Saints.
I don't know. So Buccaneers are one of those teams that surprise Saints here and there, too. They've done it last few years.
I don't think you get surprised 2 weeks in a row.
You shouldn't. That's true. Against a coach that we've been given as coach of the year in Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, man. That loss against the fucking Falcons cost him a lot of coach of the year points.
Right. We seem to be very easily picking these games. I went the Saints in this one, too, but I just keep thinking of how badly we picked this week. Well, some of the things
can't think about it, Scott. Short memory. Got to move on.
The Saints, though, do have to worry about Marshawn Lattimore missing some time. He hurt his hamstring this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's not exactly going up against a good wide receiver. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he shut him down the first time they played, so we'll see what happens this week.
That's going to be a big difference. But you can always just throw four guys at Mike Evans, and he'll probably only catch 8 balls for 70.
Ah, that's all.
That's not bad.
Can't guard Mike Evans. All right, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers losing to the Green Bay Packers. We got a snow game, though. That was fun in the second half.
Yeah, the second half was pretty ugly, but it was fun. It was like a good football ugly, like the kind where guys are getting hit, guys are slipping, guys are moving all around. Christian McCaffrey did not get stopped in this game, but they keyed on him all game. They basically said, Kyle Allen, you're going to win this fucking thing, or you're going to lose it, and that's exactly what happened.
McCaffrey's stats looked a lot like Dalvin Cook's when we played Kansas City, where it was like, yeah, he didn't have the big game that he did, but McCaffrey got in an end zone at least once.
Over 140 all-purpose yards, you got a touchdown. That's all you can ask for.
Just that second touchdown they wanted him to get there at the goal line, couldn't get in. Packers winning off that. The only couple things about this game, because, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't put up those all-pro stats like you expect like an MVP maybe candidate to do. I think he's fallen behind the other guys. It was Aaron Jones with 3 touchdowns again. That was the big thing for them. What it was right before the half, and the Packers on a 3rd and long, standing in their end zone, and they call that awful roughing the passer call. And that's where, as a Vikings fan who wanted to see a Packers lose this game, I was like, I don't believe this. I don't believe you're going to just hand them this drive. And they took it, and they took it all the way down the field. Now, luckily, McCoy, who was called for the roughing the passer call that was not at all roughing the passer, ends him on a 4th and goal when they decide to go for it instead of kick a field goal.
Now, that's still a 3-point swing.
Absolutely, because a short punt, short field with the 2-point, 2-minute offense coming for the Panthers.
You feel like that's probably at least 3 points for the Panthers if they're able to get that play off. If that fucking penalty had not been called, I think maybe the Panthers wind up winning this game.
Yeah. So that happens instead. No points were scored there, but again, no points were scored. On the other side of it then, we've got the Packers up two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And when the Saints get their first touchdown and bring it within there, they decide to go for two. There's a Riverboat Run thinking, I'm going to get this, and then it only takes an extra point to go win it. And you go for the win when you're on the road.
I agree a little bit just with the way the weather was.
Okay.
You can't trust your footing all that much, and it's not like these kicks are gimmies anymore.
If that's what it was, if he didn't trust a 33-yard extra point, then I can see going for it. But I don't know if that was his thought process here. I was like, go get the dang tie, because now you got to get a two-point conversion, even if they got in the end zone there.
Yeah,
at the end.
I mean, you're still at... If you're looking at this from a weather standpoint, you go, I think with Christian McCaffrey, we're close enough. We've got enough players at the goal line. We can throw to Greg Olsen. We can throw to him. I think I understand it, especially because you go, I don't want to let this thing get down to a last-second field goal or a last-second extra point. I'd like to just have my horses in the barn when the storm comes.
Okay.
I get it. And then either way, you say, well, I'm either going for it once and making it once, or I'm going for it twice and making it once, and then it's the same shit.
That's true, too. Riverboat. Gonna riverboat.
That's the riverboat. There ain't no other way to get down the river.
The Panthers are home next week against the Atlanta Falcons.
I don't think the Falcons are going to shock them either. Mm. I think this is a better Carolina Panthers team than the Atlanta Falcons, but this is another team that I think the Vikings are going to have the edge on for a wild card.
There's a lot of news going around with Cam Newton and where he's going to play next year. So he's not coming back this year. This is Allen's team. But I like him heading back home. Yeah, them getting their offense under their feet again with McCaffrey. So.
I think it's going to be good for Allen to be home, get a little home cooking.
I don't see the Falcons' pass rush doing as much damage as they did against the Saints last week. So.
Not at all. I think they'll be keying on him. Just don't let Andy Reid near your barbecue there, Kyle.
Because Carolina's got some good barbecue sauce.
Oh boy, there's a little belt across the South, and you can just right there. It's like the Bible Belt, except it's barbecue belt.
That's right, but Chiefs aren't playing there. It's the Falcons. We're all right. Packers have a bye week, week 11, so
they're going to win that one too. And Aaron Jones is going to score three more touchdowns this bye week.
Shoot. All right, Dan. I saved it for the end, but oh, man, good game. Seahawks 49ers went to overtime. Seahawks 27, 49ers 24, which you picked Seattle in this one.
Because I believe that Russell Wilson is the MVP of the league.
And he played like it.
He played like this is what Russell Wilson does, man. Russell Wilson plays in big games, wins big matchups, unless you have him, you know, throw on the goal line when you have Marshawn Lynch.
He turned over ball a couple times here, though, too.
So he had not a phenomenal game, but did everything you needed a Russell Wilson to do.
Mm-hmm.
Made the big plays, especially at the end of the game, to get them in position to win it.
Yeah. No, the drives at the end were very Russell Wilson-esque, where it kind of felt like, uh-oh, here he comes. He's going to win these. As good as this game was, a lot of this have to be on the defensive side of the ball for both teams.
Yeah.
Both defenses had five sacks. Both of them caused multiple turnovers. Chris Carson had two fumbles in this game. Now, he only lost one. Garoppolo threw an interception and lost both of his fumbles, too.
One of which was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo all of a sudden doesn't look like he's protecting the ball good enough for a team that might be heading for a bye week at least in the playoffs.
I mean, they're still 8-1.
True.
You know, it feels like the San Francisco 49ers only have a half-game lead, and it doesn't even feel like a real half-game lead emotionally.
Right.
Because the Panthers or the Seattle Seahawks came in here, punched you in the mouth at home, and took one from you.
They jumped up 10-0 too, and that's when Seattle scored on defense there. The Niners had their own defensive touchdown too on a, I think it was the interception.
It was a fumble
of Carson. Yeah,
it was a fumble for Carson. I think it was scored by Armstead.
Okay, yeah. So both defenses getting points on the board there. DK Metcalf with a fumble right at the goal line with points on the field.
Brutal for me, fantasy-wise. I lost again this week by 3 points, and it was DK fucking Metcalf.
Star DK. He gets off on the field, and he takes his helmet off, and did you see what I see? The guy had the lightning bolt across his eye like he's David Bowie or something. And that was what he was wearing for, like, I think it was the black paint, but it was just a lightning bolt down one eye. I'm like, what the hell is DK doing?
Maybe it's a Harry Potter thing. Who knows?
It's a little low for Harry Potter, but I get what you're saying. Seahawks up 24-21 in this game. I want to talk about the end. With a minute 30 left in the game, Garoppolo did his darndest to try to lose this one, throwing basically what should have been two interceptions on that last drive. But sure enough, they didn't. Seattle gets a hit in their hands and they didn't catch it. Gets them down the field. And this kicker, McLaughlin, who they had to pick up off the street because heading into the week was an injury to the old man, Robbie Gould. McLaughlin kicks a 47-yarder, sends it to overtime. Oh, he's the hero.
Oh,
hold that thought. Then Wilson drives the field down there again. They're in field goal range. He's about to win this interception, and it's going back, and it's going back quite a ways. And uh-oh, looks like San Francisco's in field goal range again. And they line up now. McLaughlin, another 47-yarder, same line. Misses it terribly.
47's a tough kick.
Oh, yeah, it's not a gimme anymore, or ever was, but we think of it that way.
It's hard to blame a guy that got you there, but that's a bad miss.
And that would have been a win. That was the winning kick. Doesn't do it. So Seattle gets another chance. This goes all the way down the end of overtime. We're looking at maybe a tie game, but a 45-yarder from Myers. He wins it.
Seattle is, I don't want to say the more talented team, but we talked about it with the Raiders. They are a more cohesive team, perhaps, when these 49ers don't have it all the way together. The 49ers also have a tough road to hoe here on the back end of the schedule.
Yeah, no, I think Seattle is a better team when their defense plays the way they did in this game. Now, they weren't playing great to start it off. The Niners had plenty of drives. Debo Samuel, guy that I really liked coming out, had a good game in this one for 112 total yards from scrimmage, and that's like a new thing. You shouldn't be able to do that.
Nope.
But sure enough, he was able to in this one. And it made me surprised, like, because Wilson is better, I think, than Garoppolo head-to-head right now.
I don't think it's close.
So if the defenses are as equal as they seem to be in this game, then I'd give the edge to Seattle to win this division.
Within the next six games for these fucking Niners, they've got to face, well, sorry, the next seven games. I'll give you next week because it's the Arizona Cardinals.
That's right, Cardinals at Niners.
I think I'm going to pick the Niners. I feel pretty good about that.
Yep,
but then they've got Green Bay. Now, they've got them at home, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go to Baltimore.
Mm.
They got to go to New Orleans.
Jesus.
They got to go to, you know, the Falcons. Or the Falcons come to them, whatever.
Mm.
The Rams come to them, and then they got to go to Seattle in Week 17. I don't think these Niners are going to win the division.
Jeez.
And that, it doesn't feel like a fall from grace to me, but it just feels like this was a team that we picked to be a potential playoff team, and then they started out so strong. I think with the way Seattle's schedule is set up, with the way their schedule is set up, this is Seattle's division to take.
I think the Niners' defense played better than I thought they were going to this year. That's the surprise. Their offense has stayed healthy enough to stay in these games and to win these. But you're right. Yeah, they're not going to keep winning those strong ones unless they, you know, prove us wrong. Maybe they will, but I'm not expecting them to, and I think this is Seattle's. Now, they go to a bye week for week 11, so it's just the Niners that need to win one against the Cardinals.
They're still
week.
Minimum a 10-win team, so we're not shitting on these Niners. They're a 10- or 11-win team, but I think that's all they're going to have, and they're going to back into these playoffs.
All right. Those are the games. Whew, we did it.
What a week.
That was a great week. And like I was saying, there's only two games that had over like an 8-point differential, and that was
everything was tight. Everything was fun.
The Ravens kicking butt on the Bengals team that's going nowhere, and then the surprise Falcons team beating the Saints.
Either one, just only one. No bad games this week.
There really
wasn't.
Even
the bad ones were fun.
Yeah, even the bad ones were fun. What it was some bad sections of games that ended well. And that's what happened with some of those.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. All right, Dan. First of all, everybody, thank you guys so much for listening again.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do the show every Wednesday. We'll be back next week for another episode talking about everything that happened Week 11, getting you ready for Week 12. Going to start looking into those playoff pictures. They'll be thrown on the screen this weekend, I'm sure. So that's what everybody's got to look at. There's a lot of games left, though, and we start listing off some of these that these teams have left to play.
This season is not over.
No.
Not over by any stretch of the imagination. You're going to see two or three divisions change leaders between now and the end of the year.
So we're going to give you plenty to listen to as the season progresses and eventually completes. But if you get tired of just listening to football stuff, I don't know how you can, but if you do, check out universehead.com. There's a lot of great shows there that our friends do as well.
So many other great shows.
But check out ours at thepushoff.com. Link, rate, subscribe, and tell your friends. Tell people to give us a listen.
Tell your enemies we're bad.
That's right.
Tell your friends we're great. Tell your enemies we're bad. And they'll be like, you know what? Fuck that guy.
I'm
and
then we got a listener. Got him.
All right. Then maybe that starts a friendship. You're like, hey, you know what? The push-up's pretty good. You lied. You're like, you're right. I did lie.
I think that's how most friendships start. And you're welcome, everybody.
Through petty hatreds.
And our podcast. Let's talk crazy stats.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. I'm going to give you four quarterback names. I think you got this one, though, already. Lamar Jackson, Murray, Daniel Jones, and Driscoll. All of them did this on Sunday. What'd they do?
Led their team in rushing.
That's right. They led their team in rushing yards. How many Monday Night Football games in their career have the San Francisco 49ers won?
I'm going to say 20?
49.
Oh, good.
There it is. That would have been their 50th last night.
Ah, so close.
Get away from them.
Well, you got to stay thematic.
Or Monday night, yeah. And then, finally, three teams in this season have had a lead in every game. Just three. Can you name them?
I want to say the Cowboys.
Nope.
Damn it.
You must have been behind fully in one, two of those games.
I don't remember. All I remember is success. I'm going to say ahead at some point in time.
They had a lead in every game.
It's the Niners, obviously.
Yep.
The Patriots?
Nope, they are not on this list.
Ooh, I don't know.
I think the Patriots were behind the Ravens the rest of the way. 49ers are one. The Chiefs have had a lead in every game.
Makes sense.
And then this one, the Detroit Lions.
Oh, of course they did.
There it is.
Poor Lions.
I love that stat, though. All right, that's all I got for you guys for this week. This is another episode of The Push Off. Dan, parting words of wisdom.
As you look at the remainder of the schedule, gird your loins. Whatever you've
gird
done.
Gird them?
Gird your loins.
How does one gird?
Steel.
Okay.
Put some girders in your loiners. This is where the season fucking starts. All that shit you did already, put it in the bank. Put it in the bank. This is the time to make the push. You got 7 games left. Everybody's got 7 games left, except for, you know, the
fucking
Packers.
Couple of some bye weeks here.
You got not too much time to make a fucking impact. You got to do it. You got to win at least 5 of these next games if you want a chance to really make the playoffs, because it's too tight. Too tight across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Every division, you got to win the next 5. You want to win this division, you got to win the next 5. 5 of the next 7.
Yikes.
Get ready. Get ready. The math doesn't help you, but get ready.
Get ready. All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Push Off Podcast. I'm Scott.
This is Dan.
We hope you have a great week, and we will see you on your next one. Have a good one.